Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Life Conversations, committed to assisting you move from where you are to where you want to be. Have courage, make that move.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting in the planet. Enjoy this show.
Hello there. My name is Michelle Brown Stafford. Child prodigy mom and parental involvement activist, urging parents to get involved in their children's education. At the age of 13, our son, Stephen Stafford, became the youngest ever to enroll as a full-time regular student in Morehouse College's 150-year history. This occurred only after well-meaning educators failed to identify our son's gifts in the classroom. Knowing who our son was, my husband and I got involved and prevented Stephen from falling through the educational cracks. So parents, get involved. Stay involved. Your child's potential is definitely worth it.
Mom?
Dad?
You think if we talk about sex, I'll no longer be your little muffin head.
Your pumpkin face. Talk to me about sex.
Tell me to wait.
Sure, it'll change our relationship.
It'll make us closer.
And go to fourparents.gov.
For help on how to talk about sex.
This is important.
Tell me to wait to have sex.
And don't worry.
I'll always be your muffin head.
Your cuddle bug.
Your butterbean.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and this station.
Life Conversations Radio.
Giving a voice back to the community. 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 To the
peace. The dynamic of harmonizing good. Allow it to flow through your soul because inside it will make you whole. I'm talking about you being you. Cause no one else can set you free but you.
I'm putting gas in my car. I'm thinking about the war in Iraq. The air we breathe in is toxic and there's way more than that. The situation's international. Matter of fact, it's intergalactic. But don't make me get into that. Don't see how some be sleeping on the street, while others they be living a life that's so sweet. I envision a world where everyone's needs will meet. Living off the earth in harmony and peace.
The only reason some still be packing heat
is cause their lives is so incomplete. We were all born perfect with everything we need to be free. Yet something happened, man, we stopped believing all we could be. Let's remember we're a part of nature. Expressing love is what we're made for. Deep in your heart, the answer's not far. Let's come together now and play our part. It's all like what you see. And the pain's just too much to believe. Say, I can feel it calling me. I'ma be the change. It's all in me. Tsunamis, wars, and famines. Between religions, misunderstandings. Many different people with the same passions. Just disconnected from our cause and our actions. It's time we recognize the law of attraction. And see, we receiving exactly what we asking. And I'm focused on lack and limitation. Fear and separation. And I'm open to a new conversation. I'm talking about the love vibration. When everybody wants unification. A change is moving across the nation. Yeah, we choose courage and real communication. It's cause we know there's no time for wasting. The state of this world is our creation. Let's take a good look around this place. Yo, turn off your TV now, it's time to face this reality. Yo, this is the real show. The human race, we've been so disgraceful. We say we want peace, yet we're so wasteful. Killing all the life on earth to take up space for what? Yeah, we all want the same thing. But more stuff, happiness that won't bring. Yeah, we all know that we get what we're giving. Time
time's up now. How we gonna live? If you don't like what you see, and the pain's just too much to believe, say I can feel it calling me. I'ma be the change. It's all in me. One world in harmony. One world, one family. I ain't waiting on nobody, 'cause I'ma be the change. It's all.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting in the planet. Enjoy the show.
Yes, indeed, and that is the truth. We do the best hosting in the planet. I mean, come on. Why waste your time going somewhere else? This is the only place to be, because this is where we, I won't say that, this is where we teach conscious spirituality, conscious parenting, where we just inspire you and be a catalyst for you to be the change you want to see. Yes, yes, yes. Gina Renee and Reverend Michael Bernard Beckwith, they are reminding us to be that, be the change we want to see. When you become the change you want to see, you're not worried about other people's stuff. You don't even see other people's stuff. You're so caught up in being the change. Good afternoon, good evening, good night, good morning, good day to you, wherever you may be at this very moment in time. Thank you for tuning into Life Conversations Radio, where change begins and you make a difference, and so do we. And today's show, Conscious Parenting. Yes, 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 I am so, so excited to have my co-host, our parenting expert in the house. She's going to be joining us in a few minutes. Just some quick announcement. Oh, Gina Renee, if you want to find out more about Gina Renee, you can go to her Facebook page. What is it? Facebook.com/GinaRenee. And you find out more, everything you need to know about her. You can download her music, and she's a great artist. And some apologies from the beginning of the show. My computer and everything going here was playing games on me. I thought everybody was hearing double sound, but it was just me. But anyway, well, we're back in flow. We're back in the flow. And quick announcement here. 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time right now, Conscious Parenting. 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time today with Lisa Iverson and myself for Ancestral Blueprints. So about an hour after this show, I'll be right back here and to host Ancestral Blueprints with Lisa Iverson. And what else? Oh, here's an announcement. You know I always tell you, don't go a day without Life Coach a day. And I always make sure, I'm a man of my word, I want to make sure that each day you get a dose of Life Coach a day. So there's a lot of archive. You can go back to 2008 on Blog Talk Radio's page, and you can just listen to Life Coach a day and all the shows that we've done in the past. And kind of, you know, but I, Life Coach a day, we were taking a break. Yep, taking a break, but not that long, really, just for a week. After Ancestral Blueprints today, I'll be back next Wednesday, July 6th, with a guest, Jill LeBeau. I think I'm pronouncing that right. We're going to talk about how to feng shui your mind, how to clear your mind, how to attract what you want. As a matter of fact, how to be in alignment with what you want. So that's next Wednesday, July. Jill will be here in July 6th. So, you know, July 4th is the Independence Day. We help you free your mind. And Life Coach Jade will come back feeling free, rested, he hopes. Yes, I'm going to be rested. I don't care what happens. I'm going to be rested because I have to be rested. Sometimes we got to take care. No, we got to take care of ourselves, no matter how much we love what we do. I know Michelle can vouch for what I'm saying. Let me bring Michelle in right now, and then I want to read some stuff here. And hey, Michelle. Oh, let's try that again.
Hey. Hi,
how are you?
Oh, I'm well, Coach Ade. How are you?
I am good. I'm excited about my time off. I'm going to take some time off. I'm just going to relax.
Good and, for you.
Just so important. And I had to really realize that I needed a break. You know, it's like, it took me a while to get there. But when I got there, it was like, what happened? My buddy said, okay, you carry on. You do everything you want to do, but I ain't coming with you. I'm like, okay.
Absolutely. Well, I'm good. I'm happy for you, sweetie.
Yes, thank you. Let me just tell you a little bit about our parenting expert, Michelle Brown Stafford. She has been an advising parents for more than 14 years before it evolved into her present occupation as a professional acceleration and academic coach. She has established friendship and working relationship with school principals, assistant principals, headmasters, teachers, college deans, instructors, and college presidents. She's been busy, because sometimes those people ain't easy to convince. But I didn't say it, just in case they're listening. If they're listening, I'm not talking about those that are listening. I'm talking about those that are not listening. Her experience and research yields very powerful insight into the successful habits that produce exceptional students like her son. Recently recognized by CNN Anderson Cooper's 360 as a national education success story, Michelle has earned a spot on education contributor. Dr. Steve Perry's show, which is called Prince Perry's Principle. And for those of you who may be listening for the first time, you can go back to the archive. I was just thinking at the beginning of the show while the music was playing, I can remember when you and I started, when we did the first interview and came back. But at least we've done like 4 or 5 shows together now. You know, time flies.
Yeah, I know, right? I can't believe it. In fact, when I was putting together some material for this show, I couldn't believe it. I was like, wait a minute, I think it was back in February. I couldn't believe it.
Time
really flies, Ade.
It sure does. And but we're doing what we need to be doing, so we're not wasting time. We are creating time and creating it in the moment. So, Michelle, today we're talking about labeling kids, labeling children.
Yeah.
You're bad. You're the black sheep. You're the this. He's just spoiled rotten.
I know, right?
All this.
Yeah. I know. Wow. And I tell you, Ade, since I've been doing this work, when you're out there and you're talking to kids and you're talking to their parents, and the thing is, our story has given us the privilege of being able to be in touch with some kids who are doing remarkable things, just as, of course, Stephen and my daughter is. But, of course, they're the families who have kids who are not in the flow of who they are, so to speak. And those are the ones that I really, really, you know, I'm concerned about. I mean, you know, because they're not thriving. And the thing is, as far as I'm concerned, knowing what I know in our own experience, I know that, you know, all kids, I mean, they have potential. They have their own unique potential. And it's just a matter of helping the parents to help their kids to express their brilliance in their own unique way. Mm-hmm. But what I found is that, for the most part, it does begin with the parent. And in many instances, it's all about how the parents relate to the kids. I mean, not just from what I'm hearing out in the field, but, of course, I do my own research with other psychologists and so on and so forth. And, the conclusion is pretty much the same thing. It's all about, again, how the parent perceive and relate to the child. And so that's one of the reasons why I really wanted to do this, because this topic really has been weighing on my heart for the past few weeks. So I thank you for allowing me to do this here on the show.
Yes, yes.
But yeah, but anyway, the thing is, I know as responsible parents, we tend to look for expert or to look to experts for solutions, for diagnosis, if you will. And the thing is, I mean, that's okay because again, that's part of parenting, and we there's a problem that we see with our kids, and we want to fix it. And if there's someone we know that handles the situation, we go to them. Perfect. That's fine. But
right.
The thing is, this the thing that we do, though, as parents, and we're all guilty of it, and we do this pretty much all day, every day, and it's a form of labeling. It's the what we think about our kids subconsciously, because I'm going to tell you, the way that we perceive our children, I mean, we actually create that kind of energy in our home. We're setting the tone for how our kids, pretty much relate to themselves and to us and so on and so forth, and it's a form of branding. I mean, we're all guilty. I am, too. In fact, we're going to talk about that for a minute. But anyway, here recently, I just wanted to say this real quick. Recently, our daughter was home visiting, and just something that just, wasn't even part of our attention, my husband and I mean, it did point to us being guilty of this. But she happened to make mention of something that the kids used to love to do when they were younger, watch cartoons, of course, and one of their favorite ones was something called Dexter's Laboratory. And in lieu of Stephen being in the public eye, because he started college so early, she said to us, and this was before Stephen started college, she said, I sometimes felt like, my husband and I, kind of branded her as Dee Dee, the flighty sister. She was Dexter's flighty sister. And Dexter was a little genius, always to himself in his laboratory inventing things. But we listened and we laughed because she laughed. But then I kind of sat back and thought, like, wow, see, here it is again. Didn't even know that, those little jokes and those little whatever, she received that as her being, someone who's, a little flighty and maybe her brilliance doesn't show in the same way as her brother's and so on and so forth. So I really gave that some thought and decided to just bring that to the show, too. So, again, we're all guilty of it. We all are. Even when we decide that we're leaving our kids for the good or for some good reason. For instance, again, Stephen being this college prodigy. But listen, in our house, we didn't even talk about that in academics. I mean, there was no labeling in academics. But now that he's out there and he's doing his thing, he understands that, he has this title, nothing more, in terms of how he relates to the public. So, again, I want to get into this whole subconscious form of labeling. I mean, we're going to begin or lead off with, when we seek out experts, doctors for medical or educational purposes, educational experts. I would love to hear from parents who have had these experiences of seeking a label or a diagnosis and what the outcomes were.
Yes,
and then we can get into the other part of that, okay? So,
I mean, that's a very good point as I listen. And the number is 347-426-3346, 347-426-3346. But when you talk about diagnosis this thing, the ADHD, ADD, learning difficulties, there's all this kind of labels is given to them. I've actually spoken to a mother whose child is autistic, and she was sharing me that she was in a group one time, and she was feeling like the groups didn't particularly appreciate labeling that they think is a bad thing.
Yeah.
She said, because when you recognize that your child is autistic, and yes, they're going to give your child a label, it creates access to money, to resources that you won't have otherwise. So, I mean, I guess we could look at both from the medical perspective. And then the labelings that we do as parents from our own issues, if you will, because we're too impatient with our own selves. Because, we have their parents who would say, oh, that one is bad. Oh, that's the angel. That's the smart one. That's the dumb one. And then we wonder what happened. And for me, what I hear from you, it's just very important. Because, I mean, we call this show Conscious Parenting for a reason.
Yeah, exactly.
Because you can parent by
default.
Just because that's just the way everybody's been doing it. But conscious parenting is about helping you think of what you're thinking about. Be aware
Absolutely.
Of what you're thinking about.
Be aware.
The words you're
there
using.
It
makes a lot of difference. And so we want to hear from you, listeners, 347-426-3346, 347-426-3346. Make sure you press 1 on your keypad. Maybe you know family members who call their children a name and you've tried to tell them, don't do that, and there's an argument, a debate. Maybe you've been doing it. Maybe you're the one.
Mm-hmm.
My baby's special. You know, it's like, as a matter of fact, we're all special. And
yes,
and it's not about beating ourselves up. It's just being aware. The number, once again, is 347-426-3346. Michelle, what I want to do is let's talk about, you know, you do this work, you meet with parents, you go to school.
Yeah.
What are the kind of things that you seeing? Like, do parents come up to you and say, well, my child, my son, my daughter needs help, but, you know, she in their story, they throw out the label that they have. Does that really happen?
God, it happens so much. In fact, this is one of the biggest, my biggest challenges, first of all, is to even break down those perceptions that these parents have of their kids, or these limited expectations or limited whatever you want to call it. When I talk to, when I give speeches, the first thing I always try to do is establish some kind of commonality, you know, a common ground with the audience, okay? And even, and I'm going to tell you, it's interesting because the first thing people say is, oh, well, my kid is not like your kid. So I present all kind of evidence. Listen, when they come here, they're brilliant. And then I, you know, I go on with the whole Harvard evidence and so on and so forth to try to get them to even look at their child a little differently. But the thing is, when they already have it firmly established in their mind that, look, my kid is limited, it takes some work. It takes some doing to kind of, you know, get that to release them of that perception. And I'm going to tell you, what I always tell parents is, look, the best thing that you can do in the beginning when you work with your child is to not have any expectations at all. The thing is just to try to glean, you know, where they are, where their capabilities are. I mean, be honest about it, too, as you sit down and work with them. And then just go from there, because the moment I'm telling you, if you understand how, and I hate to say it, excuse me, but you understand how things work, the laws of the universe work, the moment that we have a fixed image of any particular of a person or a situation, that becomes our reality. And so that's one of the reasons why I always try to start off by saying, listen, your child, whatever they're demonstrating to you in the classroom or to the teacher in the classroom, that is but a mere fraction of the student that they really can become. And I explain to them why. So the thing is to kind of unhinge those fixed beliefs about their own kids. And so I give them methods, give them some kind of, you know, some resources that they can use where they can see that their child can, where their child is able to demonstrate something beyond what they've been showing them so far. So, yeah, I mean, I see it all the time. I hear, and it's so disheartening. It's like, no, you know, and sure enough, with the kids that I do coach a day, the parents are usually shocked, you know, by, oh, my God, I didn't know. Yeah, I understand you didn't know. And sometimes they do ask me to take over. But, no, my job is to help you to be more of an advocate for your own child, to look at your child in a different way. And, again, that's one of the reasons why this topic weighs so heavily on my heart, because these kids are not giving a fighting chance with parents who already have it in their mind about who their kid is, you know. So, but anyway, I love the example that you gave, or you know, the example you gave earlier about the parent who was a part of a group who don't believe in labeling. And I'm going to be honest with you, Ade, there are some psychologists and some medical experts out there who actually don't believe in it either. They approach children, you know, when the parents bring them to them, from a whole holistic viewpoint. You know what I mean?
Right,
like the
right.
whole thing of there's a book I'm going to mention at the end, but I love what this doctor said, and that this young lady came, she was like 9 years old, a child, and the parents who were well-educated, well-meaning, of course, well-meaning parents looking for a diagnosis. Well, he found that he had more success with the child when he didn't give her one, when he merely just treated what the quote-unquote desirable, less than desirable traits were, when he just focused on where the child wanted to, well, where the parents wanted the child to go. And it did help that the parents were more involved. Once that happened, there was really no need for a diagnosis. And so, I mean, that's one of the reasons why I did want to hear from parents who have sought out or gotten the label of ADHD and so on and so forth, because I tell you, that was something else, too, that was going on in our own home. And I always say that our son clearly could have been labeled ADHD. And there were some traits that did come up in the house. And my daughter, too. But the thing was, we put more of the focus on, you know, the more desirable traits. Like, okay, all right, so you do tend to forget things that you're supposed to do. Okay, so they have these cute little phones that can be used for things other than talking to their friends. where they can put in their, you know, the activities or schedule the activities for certain days and times. Like my son was taking out the garbage. That's a big issue for him. And so he actually sat down and put the days that he's supposed to take off the garbage. But, see, that's, again, those practical things like that, even the little mundane things. You know, you set your child up for success instead of harping on, you know, what they're doing wrong. And that's another thing I want to talk about later on, leading more with your child's strengths and again, setting them up for success.
Yes, yes. I mean, so much in what you're saying here. I mean, because I think of parents who are saying, well, they come into your group, to your session, to your workshop and say, well, my child is not like your child. My kid is not like yours. And it's like, well, that's right there. You already lost the battle, because if you already come up and say, well, let's just see what someone's going to say, because it's not going to apply to mine. And it seems to me, I mean, kind of like my work as a coach is like what you're really dealing with is helping people to shift their mind, shift their perspective. You're working with people's minds. So they can create a different reality, and that's not always easy, and especially where people are enticed with money, you know, because if you label your child medically as autistic, ADHD, then you have access to this money and extra help. I mean, not even judging that, just an observation. And it's kind of challenging sometimes when parents feel they don't have the money and the resources, but there's an agency that will give them the money. So there's that going back and forth, and it's really – and I think what – we're talking about here, labeling children medically, especially in the medical field, it's more about the evolution and understanding ourselves, because when we understand ourselves, we have a better understanding of our children, as opposed to just judging them and criticizing them and saying, oh, that's a bad kid, you know, that's a freak of nature, whatever people might not want to say. And we just need to be honest that we don't really know what we think we know.
Well, you know what? So you're absolutely right. And getting back to what you were saying about parents who actually make the decision to do that, and and I get it. I mean, you're reaching out. You need help. And so the experts are there to give you that. And like you said, resources and so on and so forth. I know many parents who've gone that route. My thing is, even with that, and it's not just, you know, my thing, but even with that, how often do you kind of like beat the drum of the illness, of the diagnosis to your child? Because at that point, now you're creating a crutch for that child. You know what I mean? They're afraid to kind of venture out. They're afraid to grow. They're afraid to try new things. And so, understand. I get it. You needed these things to get your child. But that's the whole purpose of you getting the resources, because you want your child to be able to become more, you know, experience more of life and grow into a well-adjusted adult. I mean, that's what we all want. And so even, like, again, just be careful of the tone that you're setting in the home. I mean, that's the bottom line, you know.
That's right. Be careful of the tone you're setting in the home by your energy, by your thoughts, just because you don't say it. It did come out, and it's very powerful, so I had to repeat it. Be careful of the tone you're setting in the house through your vibration, through your thoughts, because truly, when you think about children, I mean, you think of a one-year-old, a two-year-old who just about talk, but you tell them, here's a spoon or whatever, give me that. They respond. Mm-hmm. So we say they're just kids, they don't know anything. No, they feel your thoughts. They feel your vibration. Be careful. Be aware.
I am reminded by, I forgot who this person was. I got to find this person's name because I'm quoting this person often. But they say that between the ages of 1 and 5 years old, you are literally dealing directly with their subconscious. I mean, because there's no filters at all. So, you know how powerful that is? So you're absolutely right. They're picking up on our vibrations and our thoughts and feelings. It's very real to them.
And I would even take that deeper, that babies begin to hear and feel what the mother is feeling, what the father is saying in the house when they're in the womb. I mean, we just really get real smart here. Like, they don't have to be one. They already feel it, because it's all about emotion, all about vibration. The number is, let's turn up this vibration, 347-426-3346. 347-426-3346. I'm coming to you, Tamara. And I also want to tell the listeners, we're not just talking to parents. We're talking to aunts and uncles, adults.
Yeah.
You know, one of those people calling other people's children a name, they feel it and they sense it. So you got to really ask yourself, when you see young people being bad and you say, oh, what's wrong with kids nowadays? They're being bad. Well, maybe it's your thought about them being bad that's creating the badness that you see. Maybe it's not the child. Let's take a call. because I'm about to go off and I need to stop myself. You're listening to Conscious Parenting with Life Coach Ade and my co-host, Michelle Brown Stafford. Hey, Tamara, how are you doing?
Hey, Ade and Michelle. Doing good.
Hi,
love this conversation. My daughter is almost 22 now, but when she was diagnosed with ADD when she was in school. And, boy, I love this conversation. For us, we needed the diagnosis to get her the help she needed. We also were happy when I had to fight very hard to get her tested with the school. And when we found out exactly where her difficulties were and were able to get her the support she needed to succeed. But it's not, for me, it wasn't only the label and how we treat her and how she felt about herself, but it was the teachers and the school system as well.
Yeah.
So when she was in fifth grade, she had this teacher that was just like, oh, boy, she has a problem, and you have to put her on Ritalin. She needs to be in Ritalin to be in my class. I mean, this woman was unbelievable. I was like, hold on, we just got a diagnosis. I'm not putting her on speed.
Yeah.
You know, I want to see what else we can do to support her and dietary and before I start putting her on a, you know, prescription drug that has all these side effects.
Wow.
And she was very angry with us. And then we had a meet with her and the principal, and I did not bring my daughter because of this woman's bad attitude, and I didn't want my daughter exposed to it. And this teacher stood in the hallway and said, where is she? If she's not here, we're not having a meeting. And I'm like, yes, we are. So we kind of went through a lot of that. And then, so it takes a lot of strength, but to find out exactly from the testing where the difficulties were able to help her, you know, take longer and so on. So, she got a wonderful one period every day who would make sure she was organized, who would basically got her through high school and was sweet and so loving and saw who she was.
Good.
So it all worked out in the end, but it was a lot. You really have to sometimes fight to get the testing done, and then you have to hold your ground for knowing who your child is.
Yes, you do, Tamara, yes.
It was quite a journey. Quite a journey, but my daughter's doing great now. She takes like one class at a time, and she's
good
working, and she's a happy, beautiful young woman who never had to take any prescriptions along the way.
Let me ask you this, Tamara.
Yeah.
I want to ask you this because as I listen, I think of, I was going to ask this question when we came back from the break, but I want to ask you this as a parent, what kept you going? You said it was a journey, but what kept you going? How did you manage to just keep going when a teacher's coming at you as the one with the authority who knows what she's doing, quote unquote? What kept you going?
I think I, at the time, had support from alternative medical team on my own. So I knew all of what was possible with food and vitamins and homeopathic. So I had that knowledge going in.
That's good.
You know, had I just been a person who always goes to the doc, the Western doctor, I might have gone, okay, this is what you do, and put her on it.
Right.
Yes, yes.
It just, you know, that mother bear instinct came in. No, I don't think so.
Thank goodness. Yeah.
If you get close to my child, I'll claw your face.
Yeah, exactly. You're scary. I'm scary of you, but I'm still coming. I'm strong too, baby.
Thank you, Tamara. Thank you so much.
That's an excellent call. And she raised another point about how others perceive your child because of the label. Oh, my goodness. That's a whole nother. whole nother show, right, Ade?
Yes. And that's the thing, you know, and I think, you know, we need to be aware of that. Maybe we can talk a little bit about that when we come back from the break.
Okay.
And, you know, the
whole
thing about support. I mean, what Tamara said is she had support from alternative medical team. And really, what that tells me is she had other information. She had knowledge.
Exactly.
And she applied knowledge. But sometimes, some of us as adults, parents, we get so tired and we get so exhausted that we can't even inform ourselves. And a so-called expert coming up with all this information, and we feel like, well, we can go against them. So when we come back, we want to talk about support, supporting parents, or single parents who are thinking, well, you know, I want to do this, but I just have the time. Maybe little things that you can do to help you get to where you want to go, really, because it can be done. It's a change in how you perceive your life, yourself, and your child. And if you're willing to change, if you're willing to change yourself, your thinking, then you can create a different reality. You're listening to Conscious Parenting. My co-host is Michelle Brown Stafford. If you want to find out more about her, you can go to her website. It is gifted-spirit.com. Gifted-spirit.com. We're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to continue the conversation. 347-426-3346. 347-426-3346. And you got to remember this. As parents, it's the highest form of spiritual practice, and you're here to support them to be the best they were created to be. It's not easy, but you can do it. That's why they chose you.
Life Conversations. We dare you to live your best life.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting on the planet. Enjoy the show.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
If you think depression is all in a person's head, you're right. It's a brain illness. And like other illnesses, it has symptoms. A person suffering from depression might feel sad, empty, or numb. They might sleep more or less, eat a lot, or not at all, or show little interest in participating in ordinary activities. Mood swings, including anger and sadness, are common. They're often tired and have a hard time concentrating or making decisions. Depression can make those who suffer from it feel hopeless. It can even lead to suicide. If you see the symptoms of depression, get that person to a doctor. With medical help, depression can be treated and suicide can be prevented. Learn how to stop depression from taking another life. Call SAVE, Suicide Awareness Voices of Education, 1-888-511-SAVE, on the web at save.org.
Hello there. My name is Michelle Brown Stafford, child prodigy mom and parental involvement activist, urging parents to get involved in their children's education. At the age of 13, our son, Stephen Stafford, became the youngest ever to enroll as a full-time regular student in Morehouse College's 150-year history. This occurred only after well-meaning educators failed to identify our son's gifts in the classroom. Knowing who our son was, my husband and I got involved and prevented Stephen from falling through the educational cracks. So parents, get involved. Stay involved. Your child's potential is definitely worth it.
That's the simple answer right there. It's about getting involved. You get in it and be part of their evolution.
Maybe you're right. Maybe you don't need to talk to me about sex. Maybe you do control what I'm exposed to.
But maybe not.
Maybe I hear about sex every day.
In the media, from my friends.
Maybe while you're not talking to me about sex, everyone else is. So talk to me. Tell me to wait to have sex.
Because you can influence me.
For help starting the conversation, visit forparents.gov.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and this station.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Be the change you want to see. See, if you're struggling with your child, your children, get involved. Get involved. Isn't that right, Michelle?
Oh, God, yes. Tamara just demonstrated that, right?
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. So, you know, we're getting ready to release the show. We've got a few more minutes. We've still got enough time. The number is 347-426-3346. Your questions, your comments, your thoughts, your ideas, maybe even your disagreement. You might say, I hear what you guys are saying, but that hasn't worked for me. 347-426-3346. And I tell you, I'm confident about Michelle Brown Stafford, and I know I'm a trip. So whatever you bring, we've got an answer for you. Bring it! Yeah,
bring it.
Your life.
You know, Ade, you were talking about, yeah, you were talking about research, and as Tamara was saying, she had other support systems in place, and I mean, and that's what it takes. Because here's the thing: we're talking about conscious parenting, and I'm gonna tell you, research. When parents do the research, that's a big part of it, because you have to weigh solutions and, you know, in other matters as it reflects upon your kid's situation, and that involves you knowing who your child is. You heard Tamara mention that she knew who her daughter was, and just as I knew who my son was when we were told otherwise. And so, yeah, it's pertinent to do the research, because information really does empower anybody, but parents we're talking about specifically here.
That's right.
Yeah.
You know, the whole thing about Ritalin, I remember I was working in a boys and girls club, and there was this little boy, I can almost remember his name, start with a J, Josh, I think. When that boy hasn't taken his medication, oh, my God, he was like 5 years old. Ooh, Lord. And one day I remember coming in, and he was all calm and listening to the teachers, and I'm thinking, what is wrong with Josh? And they said, oh, he took his medication. I said, what medication? They said, Ritalin. I mean, compared to how it is. And okay, from a teacher's perspective, from people working, you know, the volunteers at the Boys and Girls Club, we're like, oh, at least we get some peace. But it scared me. It's like, what is in this medication that has caused this boy to slow down so much? And
so much,
I don't know. I mean, in the chat room, Glenda said, I'm curious. She said she went to school in the 60s, but what did people do before Ritalin for children
there
who may have that type of issues?
Good question.
Awakening Heart said they tied them to trees.
Oh, man. No, but that's a valid question, right? I mean, like all of a sudden you hear this explosion of diagnosis in ADHD and ADD or what have you, and it does make you wonder that, because I'm sure this just didn't come about during the recent, you know, more recent generation. Mm-hmm. I mean, I could say for my, well, actually I had cousins who were about my age who were off, as they say, off the chain. So, but we're not going to discuss what my grandmother used as as a form of keeping them in line.
Speaking about keeping them in the line, Awakening Heart also said parents back in the day gave the look. That was better than any pill.
The
look is not effective nowadays. What is missing? You know, I really don't know. The look was hurtful. It's like, ow! It's like a lace.
Yeah, but I mean, that look was predicated on something else. I'll tell you, that's what I'm saying. We're not going to go there. We were afraid of what would come, you know, and we kept going on with that kind of behavior. So, but no, yeah, the look.
All I'll say to that is, we did a show about 3 months ago. To spank or not to spank? We'll keep it moving. Number 347-426-3346. And press 1 on your keypad. You know, I think, you know, it's about parenting is about, I would have to say it again, being conscious. Being conscious about what you're feeding your children.
Yeah.
Being conscious of what they're eating at school. There's so much sugar in the food they're eating nowadays. I mean, I see a 14-year-old and they're like twice as tall as me, and I'm looking up at them. It's like, how is this happening? Well, he's going to be a basketball player. Well, that's good, but what's in his system? I mean, what's in the food? And parenting, you know, but there's so much things coming at parents. There's so much things coming at caregivers. Let's talk about solutions. What could help them shift their paradigm?
Yeah, let's do that.
Support, because they're saying, I hear what you're saying. You're talking about my story. This is my life.
But
I need help.
Yeah. Well, let me do this. This, what I'm going to say pretty much was born out of my personal experience. But what's cool about this, though, Ade, is, again, I'm one who's always done research. And when I found out that other parents who were successful pretty much were saying the same things, I mean, it's like, okay, so this is one of those things that's like they call shared best practices or what have you.
Right.
Well, anyway, here's the thing. The first thing I recommend is tell your kids often, and for no reason, how much you love them. Now, if they ask why, because some kids will, you can't say to them, well, do you have to have a reason? It could be just because, you know?
Yes.
Now, of course, I would recommend at times that you praise them for some awesome display of a personality trait, you know, or when they kind of expend some effort and doing something challenging, you know, because that's actually, that's pretty cool because it's showing signs of growth or whatever. But the thing is, when you do praise them, be sure to elaborate reasons why.
Yes.
Okay? The other thing is be careful. Don't do it, you know, insincerely either because kids can spot the crap. They really can.
Yes.
And your word won't be worth 2 cents from then on. Okay,
yes.
So that's the first thing. Tell them how much you love them for no reason at all. The next thing would be initiate conversations with them often. Now, I'm going to be honest with you, I got to be authentic about it. Early on, my husband actually had a problem with some of the things that, you know, that I would talk to our kids about. Because, understand, my husband's pretty much old school. I mean, he is for the most part. And that's okay because I'm going to tell you, we needed some of that at times too. So it worked.
Yes.
Sometimes it did. But anyway, I would just have these conversations with them about life in general, about who they are, about certain issues. And I would reserve my judgment of their opinions because I really wanted to get a sense of how they were able to reason, okay?
Right.
And sometimes when they would project a line of reasoning that was a little bit sketchy or it's kind of like, you know, it didn't jive with who I knew them to be,
mm-hmm.
then I would just ask them very pointed questions that allowed them to kind of see the gap in their own thought process.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yes, it
but
makes
anyway,
a lot of
it,
sense.
Yeah, it's kind of, it worked because from now, from henceforth, I mean, even now, both of these kids are in college, and I'm usually the first point of contact, you know,
mm-hmm.
when they want to talk about something, any and everything.
Right.
Because I don't judge it for the most part. It's like, okay, well, let's see how that's working out for you, you know, that kind of thing.
Right, right.
But
right,
next,
right.
Okay. Yes,
well, I was just going to say, you felt me there. What I was going to say is really, and I think as adults, parents, anybody, if we start thinking differently, if we were talking to a supervisor,
mm-hmm.
if we were talking to our husbands, our wives, our partners, and they judge what we say, which some of us experience that, we don't feel good about it. Why do we think kids are looking forward to us judging their mindset?
Thank you.
You know?
Right, exactly. Exactly. I mean, thing is, have empathy. Show empathy. I mean, how would you like to be treated in that situation? You know,
that's
I mean,
right.
These are kids. They're little people. They're people, nonetheless.
That's right. That's right.
But anyway, the next thing I would recommend is speak to them on their interests and acquire the resources for them to engage. What do I mean when I say that? Now, first of all, I've always thought of, for us, it was a matter of progression. Everything was about progression, moving forward. And so when the kids would express things that they'd like, because we talked about that often, I would, you know, find the resources for them to engage in that interest. Like, for instance, my daughter was one who loved graphic design. And so she had all kind of programs where she could practice that. Or during the times that she loved gymnastics, you know, we let her take that as far as she wanted to go, although she dropped out when they asked her to compete. That hurt my feelings, but I got over it. the thing is, yeah, I kind of engaged. It's because they're telling you pretty much what they really like, what they're passionate about, and so you want to engage them. And so anyway, I have to say this. One of my favorite authors on the topic of identifying kids' strengths, she even stated that, and I quote, children are not that different from adults. They want clear and realistic goals and expectations for their futures and systems that will allow them to arrive at those goals feeling fulfilled and strong. And that was by Jennifer Fox. She's the author of your child's strengths. Excuse me, identifying your child's strengths. Love that statement from her because it makes sense.
We want that as adults.
Right?
You know, the point you made about realizing that children are little people, instead of saying, oh, they're just children, they don't know anything, that's a lie. They
get you
know
in trouble.
More,
yeah.
They see more, and they're very insightful. And the most important thing is they're in tune with their God self, their spirit self. So they know when you are BSing, they're like, and then you wonder why they don't listen to you because they know you're talking stuff. You're saying things that sound good, but you don't even believe it. Even if I don't want you to turn out like me, I don't want you to do the mistakes I do. What does that mean? I mean, come on. For me, I think that mistake is just, the minute you say you don't want your daughter, your son to turn out like you did, you've just now implanted that seed in them to be like you. Because if you say I don't want you to turn out like me, okay, so does that mean how you turn out is not good? You're judging yourself. You're labeling yourself.
Wow.
So if you're not a good parent, if you're not a responsible adult, if your life is not what you wanted it to be, how can you be a great person? Okay, to orchestrate them, guide them through life. you know?
Wow. Yeah.
347-436-3346. Let's take a call. I know you've got some more solutions and how people, but let's take a call. And let's see. I wonder, is this Kefir?
I know. It's Celeste. Hello, Michelle. How are you doing?
Hey, Celeste. How are you?
I am well. Hey, Ade, I can't be testing your intuitive abilities like that all the time. I'll get the phone fixed, but I'll do this quick. I really, really enjoy this conversation. I am a recovering labeled child. I was labeled as slow in my faith, but we're not going to tell that story. What I wanted to share with you is that I traveled home, and I met this little girl, 2 years old. Her name is Journey, and she had all this fire, and I just fell in love with her. I wanted to take her home, right? And her mom looked at her and went, she's bad. You will give her right back to me. And I looked at the little girl, and she didn't have any expression. And I was like, wow, she's heard this before. So she's an angel in the bathroom, okay? So fast forward, we're in the establishment, and this little girl will not leave me alone. I mean, just energetically, she kept calling to me. So I walked over. I usually carry toys for children, so I had a toy to give to her, and I asked permission to give Journey the toy, and that's how I got to learn her name. And I dropped on her mom that her daughter was fire and that she had a lot of expression that I could feel, and that she was very powerful and talented and would probably love stories. And Journey is just looking at me, and she's smiling. And then I said, what's her sign? And she goes, Leo. And I said, see, she wanted to be seen. And we played with that. But I just wanted to say that anybody can step in and redirect a label. And when you hear that, just bring love, and I'm done. Thank you so much for hearing me.
Thank
you, Celeste, for playing numbers game with my mind. I want to share some things in the chat room here with you, Michelle, and some good points here. One of the things that I think is real good is I think Glenda said parents should learn meditation and teach their children. And I think that is so important. When you teach your children to be still so they can listen to the wisdom within them already, that's so important. Tamara said, my daughter would not meditate. She thought we were goofballs. gosh. It's all about labeling again. I mean, so her daughter labeled her a goofball, right? But I mean, we've given meditation such a bad rap because it's simple. Think about it. A friend of mine was talking recently. When we watch those reality, quote unquote, reality programs about police officers, and they're going to a particular location. You know, they might be telling them somebody's shot or they're there, and they're just talking, yep, I'm right there. You know, they have their code that they use. But the police are usually relaxed no matter what is going on until they're dealing with the person. But when they're in the car, when they're chasing somebody, they're very calm, they're very relaxed.
Yeah.
If there's a fire, they say, don't run, relax. When something's happened, when you're hyperventilating, they say, breathe, slow down. But I think there's something about humanity really being afraid of being quiet. I don't understand it. I really don't understand it.
Yeah, that's a good point.
There's a question
like to
here.
Fill in the quiet. Okay, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I just wanted to ask you this question quick, and the time is doing what time does. Tamara said, I think the school systems are trained to talk parents out of getting kids tested because it costs dollars for the district to give them extra attention. And she said, has Michelle noticed this? Have you noticed that maybe school systems sometimes try and talk parents out of testing their children?
You know, I can't say that I have on that end because I'm hearing it from actually both sides. I hear I hear a lot of parents who do, like Tamara did, push for the testing. But understand, people are coming to us because of the whole gifted, you know, label, all right? Mm-hmm. And many of them do. I mean, these parents are kind of savvy enough. They get their own testing done, so on and so forth. The school end of it, that's a whole nother show, I'm telling you, because you're right. She's right. They have to preserve the dollars. They do. But at the same time, when it comes to kids who have been labeled ADHD or so on and so forth, there are some teachers who, as what Tamara experienced, because I've heard that before when she said it, that's what they're all about. They don't want to deal with a child with ADHD or any other label, you know what I mean, issues that they may have. So, I mean, you know, listen, part of my work is not just to look at it from the parenting perspective, but I also have relationships with educators. And so Yeah, it's a very, that particular thing is a whole, I think that's a whole other subject for a whole other show, testing.
Yes.
So, no, I understand Tamara's point, and I definitely do.
I mean, this show
because
is really about.
Well, let me give you an example. For instance, because I obviously, well, I'm a minority, at least that's what they tell me. I'm hearing from experts, gifted experts in the system, that African Americans are not being tested as well as they should be. In fact, you know, they're saying that our community, people in our community are just not knowledgeable enough to even seek testing. So, like I said, it does vary.
Yes. I mean, I'm clear that what we're doing, we're just touching the tip of the iceberg with these topics. But the intention of this show is to inspire parents, adults, caregivers to parent from a conscious perspective. That think of what you're thinking about. Feel, reflect about how you're relating with your children. Something Awakening Heart put in here, Betty, she said, when children are given labels, they do not question them. Thus, their labels become self-fulfilling prophecies.
There you go.
So
love
it's important
it. Yep,
to be aware of the nicknames we give them. And even if a medical labeling, and Michelle, one of the things you said at the beginning when we talk about solution is telling them you love them. When you understand what love is, I mean, parents need to really educate themselves to understand what love is, because love is the most powerful force in the universe.
Is. Yes, it is. Yes,
not just
it
words.
Is.
It's not just words. It's you're recognizing their spirit. You're affirming them when you tell them you love them. And more importantly, when you mean it, you're not just saying words, because you know what love does.
Yes.
You know, we got about 2 minutes to go. Go ahead. You're going to say something, Michelle?
Yeah, well, and the whole thing, just to add to what you were saying, and when you do look at your child adoringly with that love that you speak of, you don't even see that which they, you know, would be attributed to a particular label, a bad, whatever label. You just don't see it. I mean, you're constantly calling your child to the better, you know, person that they are, or that being that they really are. And so, great point, Ida. You're absolutely right. That's what love does.
Yes,
so
love brings out the best in us. Go ahead.
Yes, it does. So like you said, we have only 2 minutes. So let me just add the remaining solutions that I would like to recommend. Okay, is that okay?
Yeah, sure. And don't forget the books now.
Oh, right, exactly. So and the last three I want to say is, guys, this kind of piggybacks on the last solution that I offered, which is lead with your child's strength as often as you can. Again, kids are like adults. I mean, how many of us like to talk about things that we love to do and we're good at? Kids are no different. In fact, when you do, you'll find that your kids, their self-confidence heightens. I mean, it really does. And it also makes it easier for them to tackle their weak areas.
Yes.
The next thing is develop expectations for your kids that honestly reflect who they are and, you know, and where they are. And I kind of talked about that a little earlier. But again, you just want to be centered with your expectations in such a way that they are malleable enough to support your child's growing abilities. All right. And I do offer an article on that on Gifted Spirit. But anyway, the last thing, and this is, I'm going to tell you, this is one of the most important things to me too, in addition to the whole loving your child. But let your kids weigh in on matters that concern them.
Yes.
This is so ingenious.
God.
Let me tell you, Ade, this works so wonderfully for us, because what you do is actually you show them how important they are, because they are. I mean, come on. You know, you're getting them in on the whole aspect of, you know, things that affect them or the activities that you you acquire for them. But they become cooperative, cooperative components. They become participants in the whole process. And you are also training them in the process to make sound decisions until such a time that they don't need you to do so. So, guys, I'm telling you, you know, you'll be surprised at what your child has to say about things affecting them. And just give them a chance, you know. You know, of course, tell them things according to, you know, where they are as kids. But just give it a try and see what happens.
That point that you just brought up, helping inviting them to be part of the things that concern them, helping them think that if parents can just do that, man, because
I believe
once you get someone to think, you've expanded their consciousness,
you help them
become a better person. Oh my God, we can go on and on, but thank you, Michelle. Thank you.
Thank you, Ade.
You're welcome.
Thank
if you want to find out more about Michelle Brown Stafford and all the great things she's doing, you can go to her website. It's gifted-spirit.com, gifted-spirit.com. You can find out more about her articles and all different kind of resources. Michelle, I can't wait till next month.
I know, right?
We're talking about educating boys. Ooh, that should be a hot topic.
Oh, yeah. Well, absolutely.
Yes, that should be fun. Thank you very much, Michelle. Have a wonderful
day,
and we'll talk later.
You too, dear. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Ooh, I am buzzing. I'm excited. I'm on fire. I love you. I bless you. I appreciate you, and I thank God for you. I'll be back here at 2 p.m., the last show for this week, and then I'll be back next Wednesday, July 6th. I'm going to take a break. I'm going to try not to be on the computer. Not. But anyway, come back here at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Ancestral Blueprints. Love you, bless you, appreciate you, and I really thank God for you. See you at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Life Conversations, committed to assisting you move from where you are to where you want to be. Have courage, make that move.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting on the planet. Enjoy the show.